Good morning. Welcome each of you to the Lord's house this morning. Please do take a few moments to sign the friendship register at the end of each row and then pass it on to your neighbor seated next to you. And please check out the announcement page inside your bulletins. We thank you for your contributions to the Thanksgiving tree. Today is the final day to receive food items for needy families. And thank you also for your financial contributions to Operation Christmas Child, which provides goods for needy children in other countries. And starting next Sunday, the warmth tree will be set up to receive items of warm clothing and other necessities, things like socks, hats, and pajamas, to be shared with the Clay County Clothes Closet. And also today is the final day to order poinsettias that will arrive here in mid-December and be displayed at the front of our sanctuary. And those will be available to take home following the Christmas Eve services. And folks, we will be decorating a sanctuary for the Christmas season today following the 11 o'clock service, right about noon here. I will point out that the Chiefs game won't start until 3:25 today. So if we have enough folks to help, then we should all be out of here well before kickoff. And next Sunday, November 28th, we'll have our monthly general board meeting right after the 11 o'clock service. And that's a bye week for the Chiefs. So no scheduling conflicts there. We will need a quorum for that meeting to vote on the 2022 budget. And we also welcome you to share in a Thanksgiving offering today that benefits the institutions of higher education affiliated with the Christian Church. There's a flyer and offering envelope inside the bulletin. And our own Nut Lady would like to say a few words. Thank you, Kathy. I will note that we have a fewer bags of goodies back there than we had when before Dennis and I arrived this morning. So, all right, may we now begin our service of worship with our call to worship. Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning, everyone. I invite you to stand for the call to worship. Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good. His love is eternal. Be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life in union with Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord, all living creatures. Praise the Lord. We'll now sing Come, You Thankful People, Come, number 718, all stanzas.
Lord God, we give you thanks as we do every time we gather here in your house. The season of Thanksgiving is always a wonderful time to gather with our families and friends and enjoy food and fellowship. We also give thanks for the many blessings we receive, not just this season, but in our daily lives, for our homes, our families, and our food, and especially for your creation, this beautiful world in which we live. We acknowledge we are imperfect and deeply flawed human beings, but by your grace, we are restored to a relationship with you, our Creator, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Take a few moments to greet and welcome those around you this morning. Please be seated. We'd like to invite our kiddos to come up front for the children's sermon as we sing the first verse of Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Scenes by the wayside, tales of the sea. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me.
Not having it this morning, huh, Miss McKenna? Hey, it's all good. Good morning, guys. So, have we noticed kind of a theme going on this morning? What holiday is coming up this week? Yeah. Thanksgiving, that time of year when it's supposed to remind us to be thankful, to thank God for everything and all the time, no matter what's going on. But you know what? I remember being a kid. And I remember one of the biggest things we used to pray for when Thanksgiving was, God, please help me be really good because Christmas is coming. Huh? Yeah. Once Thanksgiving's there, it's like it's all towards Christmas. But that's okay because Christmas is one of the things that we should be the most thankful for. Because that means we're thankful for Jesus, doesn't it? Yeah. Do you like Thanksgiving? What's your favorite thing about Thanksgiving? The food? The pies? No? Turkey? You like the turkey? Okay. Well, I think Mr. Jim's going to talk a little bit about being thankful in our children's church downstairs. Should we have a little prayer of thanks? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for being here with us always. Thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we can always come to you in prayer, no matter what's happening in our lives, that we can ask for your help, your forgiveness, to give us strength, but mostly to be thankful for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy, and a joy to have you back with us. Kathy, bless you. We want to lift up Debbie Buzinski in our prayers as she has returned to North Kansas City Hospital. We also continue to remember in our prayers Grace and Jean Kimmerling and Rick Parvin, Lauren and Helen Kirby, Jerry Donahue, John Adams and Larry Pettis, John and Jean Cantola, and Jill Gregory among our church members. In family, we want to lift up Carol Cook's daughter, Christy Cook, once again. Seems like the thyroid problems she had previously have come back. So please keep Christy in your prayers as she sees what direction she's going to be going with that. We also lift up Perla Mora's grandson, Marty Peck. Shelley Taylor's husband, Steve, is going to be having surgery this week, tomorrow, for the removal of some cancer on a kidney. And again, they are certainly hoping they can save the kidney in the midst of that journey. Please keep them in your prayers. Also, we remember Brenda and Bob Rhodes, the sister and brother-in-law of Alan Pipps. They are at home and dealing with the coronavirus in their home in Archie, Missouri. Susan Cox's great-nephews, William and Kristen, continue to be in our prayers. We're remembering Ernest Lyons, Bonnie Wisdom's son-in-law, Chris, Katie Turner's cousin, Anoki, Barbara Blakely's brother, Roy, Linda Stevens' son-in-law, Jeff. Of course, Rihanna Ralston continues to be in our prayers, and Kelly Jackson's mother, Pat Reese, as well. And Don and Mary Jane Hagen ask us to remember their friend, J.D. Caven. So with all of these people upon our hearts, may we bow our heads before the Lord's presence this morning. Holy and gracious God, we assemble in your house to offer you praise and worship, recognizing with humility that you are our creator and sustainer of all that is good in life. As Thanksgiving Day approaches, we remember our forefathers, pilgrims from across the Atlantic, who joined in the celebration of Thanksgiving with Native Americans. We remember how Edward Winslow, after the devastation of the year previous, acknowledged and celebrated your provision, as he later wrote of that first Thanksgiving celebration in 1621, "God be praised. We had a good increase of Indian corn and our barley and different good." And as he also wrote to his friends overseas, "By the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often wish you partakers of our plenty." As our forefathers celebrated the blessing of your provision and victory over the struggle of harsh conditions, may we also celebrate your provision for us and continually praise your name for victory over any concerns that may burden us. And as we each gather with our loved ones and friends this coming Thursday, may we also take time to acknowledge your beneficent provision for us in our time. As our Lord Jesus often paused and took the time to first offer you praise and thanksgiving, may we also set the precedent to take time to first offer you praise and thanksgiving as we go about our task. Not only this Thanksgiving Day, but surely in every day that you grant to us. For as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, "Always give thanks for everything to God the Father." And this be our prayer on this Thanksgiving Sunday, as we also recite the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. First conceived as a children's hymn, our communion hymn this morning was written by F.S. Pierpoint in 1864 as an expression of thanks for the many gifts from God. Images of such gifts are mentioned in each stanza. The glories of human nature, human relationships, the link between mind and senses, and the fellowship of the church. Each stanza culminates in a joyful proclamation of greatness as we sing, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. On this Thanksgiving Sunday, we prepare our hearts to gratefully receive the blessing of the Lord's Supper and God's abundant gifts as we turn to our communion hymn number 56 and sing stanzas 1, 3, and 5 of For the Beauty of the Earth. Gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me. In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me. And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads as Dave leads us in a word of prayer, please.
Our Heavenly Father, as we gather around this table, we remember the sacrifice your Son made for the forgiveness of our sins. Bless this bread representing his broken body and this cup representing his spilled blood. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God, and we welcome you to share this morning. Thank you. The Thanksgiving offering is received in Christian churches throughout the nation each Thanksgiving Sunday to offer financial support to the many students engaged in higher education in the 21 colleges, universities, seminaries, and divinity houses affiliated with the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. Your generosity is appreciated as we receive our tithes and offerings as Ron first leads us in a word of prayer. Ron.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to once again gather around your table in this your church. We ask your blessing on these gifts, tithes, and offerings, that they might help those in need in this community and others. In Jesus' name we give thanks. Amen.
Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Lord God, we pray this offering is used for your glorious purposes now and always. In Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. This Sunday, I am pausing from my messages about the 23rd Psalm because as I got to thinking about it, I just couldn't have a Thanksgiving Sunday go by without thinking about Thanksgiving things. You know, it just didn't seem to fit to miss that opportunity. And then, of course, next week, Jim is going to be taking my place as Carrie and I will be gone, as we'll on that day, next Sunday, be making our journey back from Minnesota, seeing Jonathan and Natalie, and, of course, that young baby named Addie. You know, so we're kind of wondering if maybe she just might start walking when we're up there. You know, she's just about that point. So I'm going to miss next Sunday, and I'm grateful that Jim will be taking my place. Also, a little caveat about today's message. It's going to read more like a history lesson rather than a Bible lesson. But sometimes I think that's important, because it's not only the scriptures that we draw upon to understand our faith, but we also need to understand how our faith has been informed by those who have lived here in this country before us. And as they certainly had a religious heritage that they passed on to us, we need to understand how that helps to inform who we are as Christian believers today. So if you walk out of here saying, well, I didn't hear much Bible today, I understand, okay? But I also hope the understanding of our heritage will also enrich your life. With that in mind, I share with you from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18, as Paul writes to us, "Be joyful always, pray at all times, be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life in union with Christ Jesus." What an apropos text for us to be thinking about as we make our way toward Thanksgiving Day. May we bow our heads in prayer. Holy and gracious God, we're privileged to once again be in your house, to experience the fullness of your presence and the joyful fellowship of fellow believers. Lord, as we approach Thanksgiving Day, may we set the precedence among our loved ones to always give thanks. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As Thanksgiving Day approaches, what we must appreciate is that this holiday, like the 4th of July and like President's Day, is very much a unique American phenomenon. Its entire heritage, it was created here on our American soil. The Pilgrims' first winter in Plymouth Colony in the winter of 1620-21 had been brutal, as 45 of the 102 Mayflower passengers had died. They were ill-prepared as they suffered through inadequate living conditions, scurvy, and as it was a particularly brutally cold and snowy winter. Only four of the grown women survived that winter, as they had been the primary caretakers of all who were sick. That in of itself, I think, is very humbling to consider. Yet the Pilgrims' fortunes turned around on the 16th of March in the year 1621. An Abnaki Native American named Samoset approached the Pilgrim settlement, and he said in the English language, "Welcome." Now, don't you know, that came as quite a surprise to those pilgrims. He had learned the pilgrims' language of English from European settlers who had been fishing along the coastline. Samoset spent that first night with the pilgrims, and then he brought back another Native American named Squanto, who had learned English by traveling to England and Spain and then back. The pilgrims received great benefit from the Wampanoag, I never get that name right. I've tried to pronounce it umpteen times. Wampanoag, tribe of Native Americans, as they provided the guidance for their agricultural and hunting practices, resulting in a surplus of goods to tide the pilgrims through the second winter, that winter of 1621 and 22. Because of their Christian heritage, the pilgrims were accustomed to offering regular expressions of praise and thanksgiving to God. But what we must understand is that it was the pilgrims' second governor here in the colony, as the first governor was one of the people who died, the second governor, William Bradford, he set the precedent for a deliberate expression of thanks to God in November of 1621. He declared that it would be a three-day religious expression of thanks celebrated among the pilgrims with Massasoit, the leader of the Wampanoag, a Native American confederacy, who was joined with about 90 of his Native American companions. So that, ladies and gentlemen, certainly was the very first, if you will, official Thanksgiving celebration here on American soil. A national expression of Thanksgiving may well have been lost on the American people, however, if it were not for the fact that that pilgrim heritage continued to move forward from generation to generation to generation. In fact, you may not know that the whole story about that first Thanksgiving probably would have been lost forever if it had not actually been resurrected as folks were looking up a lot of the information about the pilgrims in the 1800s. So we had basically a 200-year time period there where the pilgrims were not thought much about. However, that heritage did continue. In fact, even as the colonists waged war in England, it was representatives of the Continental Congress who raised the need for national days of thanksgiving. Just as I've shared with you before, that a lot of American people don't know that the first English language Bible printed here in the United States was paid for by the Continental Congress. Remember how I've shared that with you? Remember that? How many folks would say, oh, no, we were just a bunch of secular folks? No, we were very deeply religious in the early years of our heritage. But in 1777, the year of the first Thanksgiving proclamation, the Continental Congress asked the Almighty to smile upon us in the persecution of a just and necessary war and to inspire our commanders both in land and sea. A proclamation in 1781 expressed thanks for the Articles of Confederation that had been signed and agreed upon by all the states. And at the war's end in 1783, the Continental Congress proclaimed thanks for the cessation of the hostilities by land and sea and for having their freedom, sovereignty, and independence ultimately acknowledged by the King of Great Britain. So when the first Federal Congress was meeting in 1789, and by the way, that is considered to be the most effective, hardworking Congress that our nation has ever had, because they created so much of the identity of our governmental processes. So bless them for working hard and working together, right? But it was on Friday, the 25th of September, 1789, that Representative Elias Boudinot of New Jersey deliberately rose to introduce a resolution asking the House to create a joint committee with the Senate to, as it stated, wait upon the President of the United States to request that he would recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God. So you see, a member of the House of Representatives was asking for the formation of a committee to go before the president and ask the president to declare a day of national thanksgiving. In other words, to raise the consciousness of offering thanks to God on the part of the entire nation, albeit though it was pretty small back then, right? George Washington, as our first president, always aware that his actions would set the precedent for the customs enacted by his predecessors, once said, "I walk on untrodden ground. There is scarcely any part of my conduct which may not be hereafter drawn into precedent." That's one thing we really have to appreciate about George Washington. In an era of time when many folks would have been glad to have made him another king, he was very decisive about the decisions he made, recognizing how it would impact the role of the presidency for generations to come. However, when it came to the notion of a proclamation of thanksgiving, he saw the value of that and indeed made that proclamation in 1789, and it set the standard for similar proclamations of future presidents. George Washington raised a national collective consciousness of thanksgiving to God by stating in his proclamation that it is, quote, the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God and to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and humbly to implore his protection and favor. And George Washington asked the American people to observe a day of thanksgiving and prayer by, quote, acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of the Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peacefully to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. So George Washington raised the national consciousness that we as a people ought to be offering thanks to Almighty God. Beyond Washington's time, Thanksgiving observations were scattered about the fall calendar in various states across the Union, and it wasn't until Abraham Lincoln declared a national day of Thanksgiving that the notion of a national observance began to get traction. And just like Elias Boudinot was a citizen who prompted George Washington to set that precedence, it was actually another citizen, Sarah Josepha Hale. She was a magazine editor of the most popular women's magazine of the time. In fact, she was editor of that nationally known magazine for 40 years, a tremendous feat for a woman in her time period. And in a letter that she wrote to Lincoln, as she had gone on for years and years, striving to get national leaders to think about a national Thanksgiving Day, she wrote in the letter, the day of our annual Thanksgiving made as a national and fixed Union festival. And Lincoln actually responded back to her request. And on the 3rd of October, 1863, Lincoln said in the closing portion of his Thanksgiving proclamation, I do therefore invite my fellow citizens in every part of the United States, and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands, to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. And I recommend to them that while offering up the subscriptions justly due to him for such singular deliverances and blessings, they do also with humble penitence for our national perverseness and disobedience commend to his tender care all those who have become widows, orphans, mourners, or sufferers in the lamentable civil strife in which we are unavoidably engaged, and fervently implore the interposition of the Almighty Hand to heal the wounds of the nation and restore it as soon as may be consistent with the divine purposes to the full enjoyment of peace, harmony, tranquility, and union. Quite remarkable words from a president as the nation was certainly divided, and not long after the North and the South both had suffered their greatest losses during the war in Gettysburg, or the Battle of Gettysburg, excuse me. But every U.S. president since Lincoln has continued the declaration of a Thanksgiving proclamation. But as the generations have passed, we are all too aware that Thanksgiving observances, which began as spiritual expressions of genuine spiritual thanksgiving to the beneficent Creator God, have for many Americans been watered down in significance, and are for many merely just another national holiday to do whatever one pleases if one is fortunate enough to be off from work. Yet as you and I claim to be people of faith, We have a religious and even a spiritual duty to set the precedent among our loved ones and friends to offer thanksgiving to God. We take our cue not only from the early leaders of our pilgrim national heritage, we take our inspiration from Christ our Lord and from our biblical heritage. Christ our Lord was certainly one who set the precedent for routine expressions of thanksgiving to God. On so many occasions, before Jesus was seeking out something from God, he first offered thanks to God. In Mark chapter 6, verse 41, at the feeding of the 5,000, the text says, "Then Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looked up to heaven, and gave thanks to God. And then he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples to distribute to the multitude of people." And Jesus knew with confidence that his thanksgiving would be honored with the abundance of fish and bread to all the people. Jesus set the precedent of thanksgiving in John chapter 11 after Jesus ordered that the stone covering Lazarus' tomb be rolled away. Jesus stood there as the tomb was open, and he first offered a word of prayer in thanksgiving to God. Verse 41 of John 11, Jesus says, "I thank you, Father, that you listen to me. I know that you always listen to me, but I say this for the sake of the people here so that they will believe that you sent me." And with that confidence in thanksgiving to God, it was only then that Jesus ordered Lazarus to come out of the tomb. And even as Jesus declared the cup and the bread to be everlasting symbols of his sacrifice on the cross, he first offered up a prayer of thanksgiving. As Luke chapter 21, verse 19 tells us, this, "Then Jesus took a cup, gave thanks to God, and said, 'Take this and share it among you.'" In fact, in our Christian heritage, we fail to remember that in that Passover event that Jesus shared with his disciples, there are several instances throughout that mealtime event that the leader of the group would pause and offer thanks to God. And we know certainly Jesus did the same as a faithful Jewish person of his time. The Apostle Paul continually encourages believers to express thanksgiving to God, even in all things. The text that I read to you this morning, the 18th verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you." And in Colossians chapter 3, verse 17, Paul writes, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." And we, as leaders of our own households, as those who inspire our children, our grandchildren, maybe even our neighbors' children, we can set the precedent of thanksgiving to God on Thanksgiving Day. I ask you, what do you do on Thanksgiving Day? Do you pause as a group with whomever you may be, and actually offer thanks, genuine, audible thanks to God? We can encourage and even lead prayer at our Thanksgiving table. We can set the precedent by offering a spiritually inspired Thanksgiving story before sharing in that meal together. By reading the Thanksgiving proclamations of George Washington or Abraham Lincoln, or maybe even both, and reflecting upon what both gentlemen said about giving thanks to God. It's a way for us to set the precedence of thanks on Thanksgiving Day. And by encouraging our loved ones and friends to sit down with little scraps of paper and a pen, write down that for which or for whom they are thankful for. And then doing a round robin, sharing your stories, is a way of expressing thanks to God. Yes, Thanksgiving Day. It's another one of those days to watch another football game. Another one of those days to go to the lake. Another one of those days to share a meal with relatives or friends. But ladies and gentlemen, what it really is all about is offering thanksgiving to the God, the Father, and the Creator of you and me and everyone. Thus the sign outside says from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20, always, it says in the text, always give thanks for everything to God the Father. The sign simply says, give thanks always. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, today can be your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way I know your life can be transformed. Today can be your day to come forward and become a part of our fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. I want to extend the invitation to you as we turn to our hymn of invitation, For the Fruit of All Creation. We'll sing All Stanzas, Please. It's hymn number 714, please.
For the fruit of all creation, thanks be to God. For good gifts to every nation, thanks be to God. For the plowing, sowing, reaping, silent growth while we are sleeping, future needs in earth safekeeping, thanks be to God. In the just reward of labor, God's will is done. In the help we give our neighbor, God's will is done. In our worldwide task of caring for the hungry and despairing, in the harvest we are sharing, God's will is done. For the harvest of the Spirit, thanks be to God. For the good we all inherit, thanks be to God. For the wonders that astound us, for the truths that still confound us, most of all that love has found us, thanks be to God.
We thank you for being in the Lord's house this morning. We wish you the very best as you journey through this week and have the opportunity to share with loved ones and friends this Thanksgiving Day. A reminder that after the 11 o'clock service, we're going to gather here in the sanctuary and set everything up for Advent as Advent starts next Sunday. And we sure could use your help if you would please come back and help us out. If we have enough folks here, it will, you know, we'll be done in an hour. So we'll be done well before the Chiefs start playing at about 3:25, I believe, this afternoon. May we offer a word of prayer. Lord God, as we depart, May we truly set the precedent to offer thanks among our loved ones and friends as Thanksgiving Day approaches, and as we are mindful of your bountiful blessings upon our lives, chief among them, the gift of life eternal through your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we give thanks as we depart and journey forward in the task of the new week. Amen.
Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Give thanks to the Holy One. Give thanks because he's given Jesus Christ, his Son. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. And now let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich, because of what the Lord has done for us. Give thanks.
For the check-in text this morning.
I just want to make sure you were
No.